Good morning. Today we're going to talk about being quietly confident. This is a unique concept sometimes in our society. Many times when you think of somebody that's confident, you think of somebody that's loud and brash and likes to start fights. And that is a type of confidence. And there are times that type of confidence is needed. But yet what the scriptures talk about to us, both in the Old Testament and in the New, is being so confident in God's strength in our lives that we can go about life quietly and peacefully, just knowing God's going to be there. You know, even so, I mean, movies, they're always having fight scenes and the tough guy. And sometimes, you know, you got the guy with the big old guns and going around and stuff. But then other times you got this quiet little Oriental guy who doesn't say a word and just waits. So when nobody's looking, he goes, pow! And that's the end of the fight. I think our Christian walk is more like that than a guy running around with 18 guns and 3 knives. It's more like you pray, you wait your time, and when God says move, you move. It's a lot more of that. There we go. So let's read. Let's start in Psalm 118. I'm not suggesting you start any kind of fight. I'm just suggesting that you be very peaceful in your life. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron may say his mercy endures forever. And this word mercy can also be translated loving kindness or steadfast love. You know, like we know in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, this is just the same concept, very nicely stated. Verse 4, let them now that fear or reverence the Lord say, his mercy, his loving kindness endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I was stuck in this little place where I was getting squeezed, and God set me out where I had plenty of space. The Lord, verse 6, is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's what we have to realize. The Lord is on our side. Why do we have anything to fear? Because the Lord is with you. So again, verse 6, the Lord's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. He's on my side. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. So in every life, there'll be people that are trying to help you, and people are either trying to hurt you or just ignoring you and not helping you. Well, the Lord's on the side of those people that want to help you. Verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Isn't that a great thing? Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man or in princes. We have to deal with people. And princes, you know, like governments, leaders, big shots in whatever field. But we don't have to put our confidence in them. We pray and we have confidence in God and he helps us through everything. Great stuff. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 33. It's talking of the me talking of here is the wisdom of God, sort of metaphorically speaking for God and his word. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, the wisdom of God, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's what we want. We want to be quiet. We want to be peaceful. There may be evil around, but we'll just be peaceful from it. We'll be quiet from it. Everybody else may be worried about things and, I still think, I know I've told you these stories before, but I remember one time at my old job, we're getting some congressional testimony together that we had to send in, then I had to go testify before a congressional committee, and some of my colleagues who were a little younger were just so panicked. Oh my God, we got to get this in, and the congressmen are going to get in. Oh. And I just was very peaceful. And they said, how can you be so peaceful? I said, look, we've been doing our homework. We know our message. We're going to go in and just speak the truth as we understand it. And they're going to say whatever they say. Why should I be worried about that? It's not like I'm trying to pull off a bank heist. I'm going in to give them some facts and details that we've been gathering for months, so we know what we're talking about. And if they don't like it, they don't have to, but why get worried? But I just, to them, it was this panic thing. And me, it was just, I'm just going to go do my job. Same thing with all of us. You know, we all have things we do that other people may panic about. Oh my God, you're going to do that? Are you going to talk to them? Yeah, I'm going to go do that. And I'm not worried about it either. So there. So again, let's look at Proverbs 3. I'm sorry, Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, the wisdom of God shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's what we want to do. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. You can buy a lot with gold and silver, but you can get more from the wisdom of God. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them, wisdom and understanding, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they, wisdom and discretion, be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Why? For the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord will be your confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. See, our problem comes when our confidence gets in our abilities, or in our expectations of other people doing things, or the circumstances going the way we want, and all our focus is on that, because those things are all unreliable. You know, I try pretty hard to get things right, but I don't always do it right. And I know a lot of other people who are wonderful folks who try, and they don't always get it right. So I don't want to rely on them or me. I want to love them and encourage them, but I want to have my confidence be in God. Great stuff. That's how we can be quietly confident. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Wow. Fear or reverence of the Lord is strong confidence. So just having great reverence for the Lord, and that's a great thing, because to have reverence or respect for the Lord, you have to respect that, to use a silly phrase, he can pull a rabbit out of a hat. He can do stuff we couldn't even imagine. I sometimes have a hard time finding the hat or getting it on, but God can pull a rabbit out of it. He can do stuff that's so far beyond what we could imagine, and the more we have respect and reverence for that, instead of, you know, saying, God, why didn't you do this, or being mad because something went wrong, but instead saying, I have great respect and reverence, Lord, for your great skills and your great faithfulness to take care of me. I don't see any way out of this mess I'm in, but I know you'll come through for me. So when we have that reverence for the Lord, we have strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now look at this verse 27. The fear or reverence of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Snares of death are around. There's scary, dangerous things in the world. Yet, the reverence of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart, to get you away from the snares of death. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 17. Here's a great verse. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You know, sacrifices, they're big, sumptuous meals of meat. So this would be like, in our modern terminology, it might be better to say something like, it's better to have a dry piece of toast in a peaceful house than a nice big sirloin steak in a house where there's a lot of strife. You're better off with the dry toast. Because sirloin steak is not a big enough reward to put up with living in strife all the time. Because what you want to do is you want to live with a peaceful steak. Now, of course, the best thing is to have the sirloin steak and a peaceful life. And that's what we should pray for. But if you had to pick one or the other, take the peaceful life. You're better off. Okay, Isaiah 7. Here we go, Isaiah 7. And verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pezah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it. But they could not prevail upon it. So look at that. The king of Israel lined up with the Syrians to come attack Jerusalem, which of course was the capital of the kingdom of Judah. And it was told, verse 2, it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sher-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and the son of Rephaelmaliah. And then it goes on to saying they're going to do that, but God will deliver them. Let's go on a little bit. Verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel unto thee, saying, verse 6, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 7, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So God said, don't worry. But look what it says back in verse 4, saying to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Just settle down in your heart and don't worry. And this is a great goal we should all have. We may be surrounded by great turmoil. It's a matter of a couple things. First, the main thing is trusting God, but some of it is just what you get used to. Remember those verses we've read in Romans, tribulation causes this and causes that, which ends up you being peaceful and confident because you've been through some tough stuff and God always took care of you. And then there's other stuff you just get used to. Like I can drive through a real crowded city street or walk down a real loud city street and I'm totally used to it. People from the country, it may drive them nuts. And in the same way, people from the city may walk around a real quiet country place and they can't stand the peace and quiet. I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time in both places. But some people I know can only handle the country. Some can only handle the city because it's what they're used to. And I understand that. So there are those environmental factors. But the bigger thing is, you just simply have to trust that God will take care of you. And just get in the habit of speaking in tongues and praying, whatever comes, whatever God puts on your heart, just pray. And if you're having a very tough time, just take some time, read some of God's word. I think I've told you, I like these daily Bible plans that you can get on your phone apps. I think mine's on the YouVersion app, but you can get it in paper copies or on a zillion other apps. Or it just gives you a little bit of Bible to read every day. Just read that and pray and just turn it over to God. And then you're set to go out for your day. Because, no matter what happens, you're confident God will take care of you. That's a great way to live. Because even when the king of Judah was being attacked by two armies bigger than him, the word of the Lord was, be quiet, fear not. And he didn't. And God protected them. Isaiah 30. And verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. By returning to God and resting in his comfort, you'll be saved, delivered from your problems. Then look at this. And in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That's where your strength will be. Not running around screaming, not pushing your ideas, not getting mad at everybody, not complaining about everything, but just quietly and being confident in the word of the Lord and in God's ability. That's how you'll be saved. But and then it says, and you would not. They just didn't want to listen. They were in a tough situation. They didn't want to listen to God. So they were the losers. God's still God. The world's still the world. But they didn't get to benefit from God's help because they wouldn't quietly and confidently look to God for help. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness. And of course, to be righteous is to be right with God. In the Old Testament, that meant they had to follow the law the best they could. In this administration, it's simply believing in what Jesus Christ did. The work of righteousness. What does righteousness do? Brings peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Isn't that amazing? The work of righteousness is peace, and the effect is quietness and assurance. So I like all three of those. To be peaceful, to be quiet in your heart, and to be very assured. Well, being righteous before God, we have that. We simply have to acknowledge it and focus on it. So I guarantee you this week, something's going to come up that is a little shocking, a little annoying, and possibly even scary. And then you have two choices. You may have more, but two major ones. One is focus on the problem and get panicked and get upset and get worried. Or two is just say, well, that's too bad that happened. But you know, God's going to get me through this. And I'm going to quietly, confidently be assured that God will come through. And I'm going to pray. And instead of fixating on the problem, I'm going to fixate on God's deliverance from the problem. I'm going to be praying and looking and expecting and envisioning in my thinking that God has delivered me and is going to come through in every way. And then whatever you can do, do. Sometimes you can make a phone call, you can do a project. Other times there's absolutely nothing you can do. So just pray and go about your business, being confident that God will come through for you. Then verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. It's good. Now, in this quiet doesn't mean there isn't a chicken out there making noise or kids running around screaming. It means you're quiet from war and strife and those kind of things. But it's okay if there's no chicken or kids making noise. That's okay, too. But even if they are, you can still be quiet and peaceful in your heart, which is the main thing the focus is on. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 36. And verse 1. And now it came to pass in the 14th year of Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the Fuller's Field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. So this big Assyrian army was there with Rabshakeh leading it, and Hezekiah sent out three of his guys to talk to him. And Rabshakeh, verse 4, said unto them, say now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? How dare you have the confidence to rely on your God when the king of Assyria is coming up? Because the king of Assyria had conquered many other nations, and they had gods they worshipped, but they were all false gods. so they couldn't stop the king of Assyria. So Rabshakeh, the representative of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, is saying, what confidence is this? Why do you have confidence? What do you have confidence in that makes you even think you can resist us? I don't get it. Verse 5, I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lead, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that trust in him. Because remember, Judah was a little country in between a big country, Assyria, and another big country, Egypt. So the Assyrians were figuring, if they have the nerve to stand up to us, they must have hired the Egyptians to come save them. Why else would they do it? There's nobody around big enough to even begin to stand up to us. Verse 7, but if thou say we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Not really. They took away a lot of altars of false gods, but the altar in Jerusalem where the Judeans worshipped was still there. Now therefore, verse 8, give me pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria. And I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders on them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain, at least to my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Claiming God told them. And that word Lord, when you see it in all caps, that's the word we often pronounce Jehovah or Yahweh. That's the name God gave himself. So he's claiming the God of Israel told him to go. Well, you know, he didn't. And the God of Israel is instead going to destroy the Assyrian army, and it's going to run away scared. But that great thing in verse 4, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Well, they were trusting in the true God. And it turned out it worked. Interesting stuff. Let's go to Lamentations, verse 3. Great stuff here. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Again, written during a later time, because it was about, I don't know, something like 150 years later when the Babylonians came in and did destroy Jerusalem because the children of Israel had turned away from the true God. So, Lamentations is written during that period, when they're lamenting the fact that Jerusalem had been destroyed. Jeremiah, Lamentations. There we go. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 26. It is good. Oh, let's go back to verse 25. We could go on forever. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Wait with expectation for him to the soul that seeketh him. Then verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. Again, a lot of times you feel like you got to run around knocking heads together and making noise and doing stuff, and sometimes there are things to do. But all humans get to the point where they've done everything a human can do. And once you've done everything a human can do, if things aren't working, you don't give up. Say, I tried everything, it didn't work. We're lost. Nope. Say, okay, I did my part. It's time for God to now come do his part and finish this up. So again, Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the deliverance of the Lord. Hope. You have a positive expectation that God's going to come through, and you quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What a great way to live. Now, let's jump ahead to the book of Acts. Get out of the Old Testament period. Go to the book of Acts. Here's Paul at the end of, or towards the end of his ministry, when he's under house arrest in Rome. So even though he went there contrary to the word of the Lord, look, he's still picked up. And that's good to know, because we all do things that don't turn out the way we want it, or that are contrary to the word of the Lord. And yet God still helps us pick up, start over, and move forward again. In Acts 28, verse 30, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Now, if any man could have lost confidence, it could have been Paul, who ended up being beaten up by a mob in Jerusalem, being snuck out of the city at night, spending a couple of years in jail in Caesarea, you know, being taken over to Rome and being shipwrecked and almost drowning, and, you know, being attacked by other people, and then getting there and now being under house arrest, waiting to see Caesar to hear his case. If anybody wanted to be discouraged and negative and grumpy, it could have been him. He'd have good reason for that, but he didn't. Look what he says, verse 31. "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So think about that when you're having a tough day. Have you been beaten up by a mob? Have you been thrown into jail? Have you been snuck out in the middle of the night on horseback? Have you spent a couple years in prison and then had a very nasty ride across the Mediterranean in a shipwreck? Rarely. I had 10 minutes of traffic this morning. But I had an air-conditioned car and a good audiobook, and that's about the toughest thing that happened to me today is 10 minutes of traffic on the interstate. And I know we all have tougher days, but that's so far my great tragedy for the day. And you know what? God still loves me. We still get to read the Word. Manifestations still work. When we speak in tongues, the words still come out. You know, I mean, there are great things we have going for us. So life is grand. Okay, but I know people who would have taken that traffic and would have just gone nuts about it. Oh my God, there's traffic. I got to get out of here. Like, I have a friend who rarely drives around D.C. So when I give him a ride somewhere, he just goes on and on about the traffic. I say, dude, this is D.C. There's traffic. Don't drive in this city if you don't want to be around traffic. This is nothing out of the ordinary. I know, but it's slow. It is. It's slow. That's right. Either get over it or, you know, move to Peoria or something where it's quieter. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Okay, no man forbidding him. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Here we go. In verse 12. Look at this. "In whom? In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Or another way to translate it is, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We have confident access. We have boldness. We can boldly go to God. Go to God and say, "Lord, I need help with this. I'm just praying you're going to open the right doors at the right time and show me what I need to do." And the Lord will do that. We have boldness with confidence. We have confident access by the faith of him. Excuse me. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. Philippians 1. Here we go. Philippians 1. In verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The day of Jesus Christ is the day Christ returns. And God started a great work in them by giving them the new birth, having God in Christ in you born within. And his point is, God will continue it until the day Jesus Christ returns. So it wasn't just that God helped them get born again and then left them on their own. God will continue to work in them. Remember the verse in Philippians, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." He's not going to control you, but he's always going to be in there working with you. Remember those old cartoons where there's a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other? Well, it's not exactly biblical, but there's something to it. God's always there whispering in your ear saying, hey, why don't you go over and do this? He's always going to work within you. It's up to you whether you want to listen and do it, but he's always there to help. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. See, we can always rejoice in the Lord. Some days you wake up and say, what am I going to do today? Well, rejoice in the Lord. You probably have other stuff you need to do besides that, but there's always one good thing to do, and it always works, and it's always appropriate. This reminds me of that verse we've read in Psalms many times. You know, you go out the door in the morning talking about how much God loves you, come back at night talking about how faithful he was. Or to state it another way, rejoice in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, people that backbite you. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, people that tell you you have to follow the Old Testament law and be circumcised. For we are the circumcision, not physically, but spiritually, which worship God in the Spirit. Look at that. We worship God in the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We just rejoice in all the great things we have through the new birth. And have no confidence in the flesh. We don't put our confidence in people, whether it's ourselves or anybody else. 90% or some large number of times you'll be disappointed, upset, and bedraggled is when you expected some person, yourself or another person, to do something and they don't come through. But when your focus is on God, you'll never fret. And God may tell you, go talk to this person. Go work with this person. There have been people I just thought were nuts and wanted not much to do with, but God says, go work with that person. Do this for them. Do that for them. And when I would do it, it would always pay off. Because God knows what he's talking about. I sometimes know what I'm talking about. God always knows what he's talking about. Let's not confuse the two. As a matter of fact, every person in the world sometimes knows what they're talking about. Some of the greatest problems in the world have come when people who are just sort of average, somebody decides they're perfect. They never make a mistake. Everything they say is perfect. Never true. Or it can be the opposite. Somebody that had a few problems and made a few mistakes. Everything they say is stupid, wrong, and no, it's not true. None of us are perfect. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody has some strong points and some weak points. So we try to help people grow and strengthen and don't spend too much time being upset about their weak points because we have them too. What's it say in Romans? Judge not that you be not judged. For the things you're judging them about, you end up doing yourself anyway. I've had that happen to me about, I don't know, a couple months ago. I was bugging somebody about something. At least I was fairly nice about it. I wasn't mean, but I was bugging them about doing something that I thought they could improve on. And then about 2 weeks later, I found myself doing the same thing. And I went, darn! That verse is true in Romans. So, at any rate, you have no confidence in the flesh. Just put your confidence in God. I mean, it's not like you have to hate people and be suspicious all the time, but just realize people aren't perfect. They're going to try a lot of times, and that's great, but they're not perfect. And we're certainly not perfect, but God will always come through. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he went on and talks about all his, you know, credentials as growing up as a Hebrew of the Hebrews and all that. I mean, he came from the right background, the right family, the right education. But even he couldn't place his confidence in that because the power of God and the wisdom of God is so much greater. There's nothing wrong with having a good family and a good education and good resources. Nothing wrong with that. But your confidence still should be in God because he's the one that is so much greater. So no confidence in the flesh. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here's a favorite one we've read many times. Actually, probably read all these at various times. Here's a great one. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11. And that you study or endeavor, be ambitious, make it your ambition, let it be a point of honor with you to be quiet. Work at it. Make it your ambition to be quiet, to be peaceful. Have that as a goal in your life. I'm not going to fly off the handle this week. I'm not going to have panic attacks. I'm going to be peaceful and quiet inside because I'm going to trust God. And when I run against something that's scary or unexpected or makes life difficult, I'm going to quietly pray and ask God to help me. And then confidently go about my life knowing He'll come through for me. But I like this one of the translations is so great there. Let it be a point of honor with you to be quiet. I just consider it honorable to be quiet, and I want to live in an honorable way. So I'm not going to run around and go nuts like everybody else. So let's read that again. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that you study, be ambitious to be quiet, and to do your own business. That's a hard thing. I've noticed there are people in the world that want to talk about everybody else's business. Well, you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 Timothy 2, I'm sorry. For those of you that want to be all excited about government and your political views, here's the church epistles' take on political views. As a U.S. citizen, you can vote any way you want, support any cause or candidate you want, but when it comes to what's biblical and what our instructions as Christians are, here you go. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now we don't have kings here, but we have plenty of people in authority. So this would include all our government officials. Kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we do want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the scriptures say the way we do it is pray for leaders and all that are in authority. Again, if you have other political views and you want to pursue them, you have every right. But as far as our Christian responsibility and to live a quiet and peaceable life, we pray for our leaders and all that are in authority. Let's look at that again. Verse 2, for we pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants us to live a quiet and peaceable life. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Just a couple more here to wrap up. Hebrews 10. Okay, Hebrews 10:35. For you had I was reading the wrong verse. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense, repay.